Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to HubNet News.
Yes.
How y'all doing? Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
I can hear you.
Okay. Mic checker. It's been a while since we've all been together, and we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, how's everybody doing? Everyone introduced themselves. In case for those who may be tuning in for the first time, we have the HubNet CEO, Ms. Janet Jackson.
Hey, y'all.
All right. We have our HubNet News contributor, my main man, Darius.
Thank you, and my team got whooped today, but I still find time to talk about HubNet News.
Listen, man.
Speaking of that, I'm going to see them in December.
Who's that?
The Cleveland Browns. They're playing the Houston Texans.
Oh, in Houston, yeah.
Yes, sir.
First football game. I thought you still boycotted.
How many games y'all won so far?
We're 2-3-1 because we got destroyed by the Chargers today. I was at the game last week against Baltimore, and they won in overtime.
Wait a minute. So y'all, how many y'all won this so far?
Two. We're 2-3-1. We got the tie against Pittsburgh.
Wow, you're doing better than my team. My Giants. My Eli catching a bad break. The New York newspapers, everyone I read, it's just like, man, they just completely threw him under the bus. You know, he didn't play good Thursday, but he played a great game on Sunday. They almost beat the Jaguars, scored 30 points, and then couldn't score 10 points against the Eagles. But, you know, it is what it is. You know.
Well.
All right. So, this is our first show in at least over a month by my calculation. So we have to cover a lot in a little bit of time. Who wants to start first?
I'll start off first. It was a news story this week that surfaced on my Facebook page, and I posted it on my page. I didn't post it in the HubNet groups about these two men that raped a 9-month-old baby. They filmed it. They filmed it. They did it. Now, the mother saw the video, I believe, and then turned over to the police, and they got caught. So they're waiting trial.
Okay, and there's a video of a 9-month-old baby, and they posted it where?
They didn't post on social media. They recorded it. They were recording. They were raping this little 9-month-old baby. I said, what in the world is this?
A baby girl?
I don't know if it was a baby girl. I think it was a 9-month-old baby girl. Yes, it was.
Unbelievable. Any idea what city and state that was?
I believe it was Memphis, Tennessee. I'll post it in the HubNet groups.
Oh man. That was
I had reactions. People are so upset about that, they don't know what to do.
Since our good friend. A good friend, Pastor Dante, isn't with us tonight. I feel a little more comfortable in saying that death is far too good for these pieces of shit.
and they were two black boys. Two.
Oh man.
They weren't white. They were black.
Oh.
And I said, yeah, they're gonna get the death penalty and more. They're gonna make an example out of them.
We already knew they were black.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I know there's a ton of crazy rednecks in Tennessee. I know that for a fact. I almost knocked a couple of them out when I was down there. But, you know, it's oh, dear God. That's, well, turn them over to me. I'll take care of it. All I need is a ball peen hammer and some duct tape, and I'll take care of the whole thing. But anyway, thank you for that very disturbing report there.
Well,
I'm going to go to bed very angry tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
The other thing is the baby, the kids, I mean the people, the men who did it, they were of age? Are they young? What? The youngins or some old people?
They look, from the pictures, they look like they're in their 20s, maybe the early to mid-20s. When I send the article, y'all can get a look for yourselves and click on it.
Yeah. Well.
But that was that was really disturbing.
Well, it brings me back to a conversation I was having with a group of young dudes, and an adult that was in the room with us a couple of days ago. We have to do some housekeeping. We already know that the other man will do everything in his power to do what he going to do when he wants to do it. But in our own communities, we got devils. We got some seriously jacked up people. And this is just one of the millions of evidence, of pieces of evidence where our own people are out there committing random acts of savagery. And we got to do some serious house cleaning. You know, and I always hear the radicals and this and that, and the white man. Listen, I'm not worried about the white man because I already know he's a snake. He's going to do what he's going to do. I'm worried about my people who look like me.
Yeah.
A friend of mine that just got raped 2 weeks ago, it wasn't a white man that did that. A friend of mine who got shot in the forehead sitting in his car, that wasn't a white man that did that. That was people that looked like us. So we need to do some house cleaning. And we need to get this garbage out of our community. And at this point, I'm, you know, when I'm doing three to four funerals a month, I'm ready to do whatever it takes. I'm ready to do whatever. I've never in my life went to as many funerals as I did in 2018, and it's an embarrassment. So,
I went to three or four from late 2017 to early 2018. I told people when I had a friend of mine that died in a car chase, I told myself I can't go to another funeral. I just can't.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with it. I can't. I'm all burnt out, and I can't fit none of my suits no more. No way. I lost too much weight. But I just can't. It's too much, and it's taking a toll on my health. You know, when you're dealing with day-to-day, I can handle my day-to-day life being busy, staying, you know, productive, kids, bills, family. I can handle that. There's going to be ups and downs. I get that. But someone you've may known for a long time who you know is not about that life, you know, a botched robbery or a rape, or it's like, come on, man. It's some of this stuff is just, it just makes me feel like, okay, there's like, I'm living in Gotham, and I shouldn't live like that. You know, Philly is going to be Chicago any day now. That's just the way it looks. You know, women are getting shot in the head at 3 a.m. in the morning. Someone literally stood outside of a woman's house while she went to go visit her sick mom, and she fell asleep. She got up to get herself together and go home. She didn't make it to the bottom step before a dude shot her in the forehead.
What? Why? No.
Still don't know.
Still, man,
29-year-old bartender gets shot in the forehead by a 52-year-old boyfriend. That was 2 weeks ago.
And I also like to.
You good?
And also that we had here in Dayton not long ago, 2 weeks ago, a 28-year-old boyfriend shot his so-called 17-year-old girlfriend, but the 17-year-old been on Facebook saying he's stalking me, he's going to kill me. And when he killed her, it was on a Tuesday. They rushed her to one of the hospitals. They couldn't save her in time. Now he's up. He's in court waiting trial for murder charges. And I said, no, I said, another young life is gone here in Dayton.
And it could have been prevented if all they had to do was listen to her cries. You know.
And I said, man, only my and you know what's sad is they had the CBS News had a top 50 cities of crime rate. And I said, I'm surprised my city's not on that list.
No, nah, it's not even enough people in Dayton. Yeah. It's per capita. So you got to look at what they do is they take the number of actual murders and homicides. And, well, they just look at crime. And then they go by how many people live there in that city.
I know mine is on there. It goes down up in Texas.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in Texas. Jesus.
Oh, don't get me started with them crazy laws.
Hey, y'all don't start talking about my people.
Hey, I thought you boycotted the NFL because of Kaepernick. Yeah, I went to the game. I thought about it, but I said, nah. My church member said, please don't stand up for the national anthem. Don't try to make a scene out of 60,000 people.
Wow.
I ain't doing it.
Yeah, I ain't standing up. I didn't do it at my graduation. They threatened us to kick me out of graduation because myself and our fraternity, we sung the Black National Anthem. And, of course, doing practice, you know, the rehearsal or whatever it's called. So she pulled us into the office, you know, all the captains. And said, listen, I will bounce each and every one of your asses out of graduation if I even think you're going to pull a stunt. So, you know, we stood down, but we didn't do the holder. I will never pledge allegiance to this country, ever. Never did, never will, never said those words at any event. I don't care. There's nothing nobody can say or make me do it. But, I mean, as far as the boycotting, I think that's a discussion we should really have on the Shoebox Talk Show. We really need to find a way to integrate that into one of our topics because that is serious. One, I think it's a bad idea, for one. Two, Kaepernick said don't boycott the NFL. So now, because they won't hire me, you're forgetting the whole purpose. And not only that, he's winning his fight.
Oh yeah,
his lawsuit is moving forward. It already passed one hurdle where there was clear. He's proven in court already that there's clear and present evidence of collusion amongst the ownership to blackball him. So he is about to be a very happy man. Where everybody was worried, oh, ain't gonna clear that first hurdle. Nope, judge said, oh, here it is, right here. I see it. So now it's on the docket. It'll move forward. And he's going to be a happy man because they have no chance in hell of beating him. The best thing they can do is settle out, and hopefully get him a find something for him to do just to make peace. Because once it clears with him, it sends a signal to all the other players, because they violated an order that's supposed to be a part of the players' union. So they're going to have to figure out a way to wrap this up with a nice neat bow tie, or it can be a bigger problem. So, but yeah, it's
said it in the beginning. Shout out to Kaepernick, in case you get wind of this. Do your thing, boy. I support you fully. And I still say that what it is is all, like I posted up about a month ago, 78% of the players in the NFL and NBA are black. They should have supported him regardless. So anyway, people like Serena in tennis too, in golf, Serena Williams. Yeah, something like that had to happen to her with all the drama she got going on. She's expected for us to support her. You know, that's what's wrong with us. We should be supporting each other regardless of what sport we play. Speaking on it, anybody can do that. I can do that. You give me an audience, I can get out there and speak too. It takes for Kanye West special ass to go to the White House to talk about prison reform.
Oh, don't get me started with him.
Really?
He's Uncle Tom.
Well, I know one thing. Out of all things, all the special shit he's even said, the fact that he's up there, first I said, what the hell could he be saying about prison reform? He ain't never been in jail a day in his life that I know of. But the other thing is the fact that he even brought that up. Ain't nobody else went to the White House talking about prison reform that I know of.
Well, here's the problem with that. Nobody wants to go talk to a well-known liar.
No, I'm Jared not talking
Kushner.
About. I said White House.
Yeah, I know. Nobody's going to go.
Obama.
Nobody
went to go talk to Obama about it that I know of.
They didn't have to, because Obama came out with an initiative for prison reform. He actually put through prison reform. And the first thing that Jeff Sessions did is reverse it. Remember, Obama and Eric Holter got rid of the mandatory minimum for federal crimes. That let a lot of people go home. So what happened was Jeff Sessions went in and reversed it. No one had to say anything to Obama because he ran on it. He ran. He said, I'm going to touch it. I'm going to see what I can fix. Some things, he said, look, some things state-wise you can't do nothing about, but the federal stuff, I'm on it. And he kept to his word. He made the NAACP, the Urban League, and a lot of black activists very happy. But day one, Jeff Sessions started rolling them back. Start re-putting things back in place through the Department of Justice. Because we got to remember, the Bureau, when you get locked up with the feds, you're under the custodialship of the Bureau of Federal Prisons. Jeff Sessions runs that, unfortunately.
Until after the midterm, because I think he's going to be out of there.
Oh, yeah, Trump's going to bounce his ass. I think Trump, I don't know, depends on what happens. I think if the Democrats win, Jeff Sessions is probably going to stay.
Realistically, I think the Democrats are going to get the House back. Because if they get the House back, they said from the get-go, if they get the House back, they're going to reopen the Trump investigation. They're going to investigate them, his taxes.
Oh, they don't want that. The Republicans.
That's what they're
going to
do. Because they said Devin Nunes is going to be expelled out that committee. They're going to have Democrats on it, and they're going to investigate. And I said, I'm just going to just sit there and laugh. That's all I'm going to do.
Oh, real quick, because I didn't want to speak on it, but I knew I saw it. I just had to look it up. Serena Williams did make several statements in regards to Colin Kaepernick. She says every black athlete in America should be praising Colin Kaepernick. And then she said it again on September 8th at the U.S. Open. Steph Curry came out saying the same thing. And LeBron, I knew LeBron James said it multiple times because they stuck the microphones in his face and said it. And even, you know, and he didn't hold back. That's what a whole him and Trump thing really turned up, because he was citing Colin Kaepernick. He was saying, look, whatever he need, I'm there. So, I mean, a lot of athletes did. It's just sometimes this stuff goes under the radar. And even Obama has defended Colin Kaepernick. So.
I'm looking at this
Hurricane Michael.
Yeah.
Man, Florida is messed up. For real.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, and people had the nerve. Well, majority of the people left, but you had some people stay, and they got so far 17 people dead. Them 17 people could have been alive.
Yep.
That's ridiculous.
And one of them that I heard on the news, that one that stayed through the hurricane, she said she should have left when they had the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
I said,
yep. This is horrible.
Yeah, did you see the coverage of the people that stayed, that they talked to, that actually survived?
Yeah.
Man, I don't get it. I don't know. I guess my philosophies on life is a whole lot different than some of them people. Because you always hear them say, I survived Hurricane Andrew, I survived this. And then I'm watching MSNBC and this one guy's calling up, and he said the tree in the backyard just uprooted, and one of the branches broke off, torpedoed through my house, came in through the back and went through the front. So now I got water bleeding into the house. He says, my downstairs is flooded.
Mm.
That's the last time he heard from this guy.
Mm.
So it's like, why would you stay? You know, this is the biggest hurricane in Florida. Think about how often hurricanes hit Florida.
Let me give you some information. This is what people think. If we can make it through this hurricane, film this, you know, it's a moneymaker. Write a book about it, do some interviews. I had a man, they showed a man filming it with his kids and his wife. They was up in the house. That was the lady they interviewed. You saw the house, the blue house in front of her, roll off. Big ass house.
Mm-hmm. And then the beach homes, the people that came back in a couple of days later.
That's what I'm looking at now. That's horrible.
Like their homes were just gone.
There's
homes are just gone. And
nothing but just rebels.
Yeah. Yep. One lady, she was crying, and her husband turned around and looked, and he said, that's my neighbor down the block's home right here. He said, He said maybe not even a tenth of a mile. That's what a house used to be. But it's right here in front of me now. Like, think about it. It picked your home up and carried it down the street.
That's crazy, right? Like, to see it on TV is one thing, but to be looking down the street and your house, your whole house is down the street, that's crazy. That would kind of mess me up. For real.
Yeah. So, but hey, you know, I don't know, you know, but on the flip side of that storm, we had the good brother that's running for governor down there, the mayor of Tallahassee, Mr. Gillum, who rolled up his sleeves and got busy. Now, mind you, they beat him up a little bit after the last hurricane. Was it Andrew or whatever? You know, so he caught hell for that one. So he learned from his mistakes. And he was working his butt off.
Why did he catch hell?
Well, just the recovery, the way the local government wasn't coordinating with state and federal. And it was a bunch of logistics stuff. Some stuff you just ain't your fault. Other stuff you're supposed to prepare for it. You're right there in Hurricane Alley. So you're supposed to always have these things in place. So some of the stuff he owned up to. Other stuff he's like, look, man, people are just going to bitch. But that was, you know, some time ago, so he had a chance to get things ready, and he made Tallahassee ready. So he, you know, he's got glowing reviews on the way he managed things now. Well, while he was running things, his opponent that's running for governor is putting attack ads out, literally. While the storm was wiping homes away, this guy was running ads. Now, Gillum suspended his campaign. He said, cause, listen, we're in the middle of a storm. This is a crisis. People are losing lives. We can't be worried about running for governor. But, oh, no, not that Republican. I can't even remember his name, but he's a piece of garbage. He's the one that made the monkey around comment about a month ago.
Yeah.
So... But you had that guy doing that, and then you had Trump doing a rally later on that night over here in Erie,
Pennsylvania.
PA. Yeah. Up in Erie, PA, we call Pennsylvania, because that's that part of PA where you don't know if you're still in PA or if your ass in Kentucky. You know, they have a lot of good old boy views, a lot of good old boy nonsense goes on out there. There's certain parts of Pennsylvania, you know, what is it, east of the Appalachians, you keep your ass out of, or you might come up missing. Yeah, and he made sure he went up there and talked his talk.
So, tell me about this Kelsey Quayle, an aspiring model that was found shot. In the neck before she ran into a car.
What kind of
in Georgia? What kind of shit is going on around here?
Kelsey Quayle? I'm not familiar with that story.
She got a lot of followers. She's an aspiring model. She's modeling. She kind of looked like, I don't know who she looked like, but she got an investigation going on. Oh, man, I sure hope this don't come out to be there with some black dude. In Atlanta, Georgia. And she got a lot of followers.
Shot while driving.
The girl. And she looked like she was young, too, in her 20s. Something's just telling me.
Yeah.
And she was shot in the neck when her car hit another vehicle, had a car accident. So... I don't know what to say.
It's just another one of those scary and unfortunate things. You know, this beautiful young girl clearly shot in the neck while driving. It says do videos. She's 28 years old, model in Atlanta. Driving in a Mazda 626 around Riverdale Road in Clayton County. On October 8th.
It was on the news. They've been talking about it on social media.
Yeah, they got her to the hospital, but later on, she held on for about a day and a half, or a day or some change or something like that, and she just, the injuries was just too much. Well, I'm sure that they'll find it. They'll find her. You know, the sad part is the shot went in her neck and it severed her spinal cord. And that caused catastrophic brain damage, according to the family. They don't have any suspects as of right
now.
And that's unfortunate. But, hey, welcome to America, where the strangest and most criminal things can happen to you, and you never know.
It seems like
we have become
immune to, like, when stuff like this happens, we just nonchalant about it these days.
It's like the norm.
I hate to say it, but yeah, I'm guilty of it. I feel bad looking and reading it. But at the same time, I'm going, hey, I didn't know her. And I, that's sad. But it's like I'm so – it's like when I hang up this phone after the show and I turn in on the 10 o'clock news, which I watch, you know, local Fox, because they're the only ones running news in the area at 10 o'clock. And I'm going to hear about my neighborhood. I'm going to hear about my parents' neighborhood, friends' neighborhood, shooting. I mean, just last week in a quadruple homicide.
Good Lord, in the morning.
And the fourth person that got killed was a woman who literally covered her baby up while all the bullets was flying. And she took every shot. And she succumbed to her injuries. Mm. So if you're in a high crime city, you become immune to it. We go like, damn, that's messed up. Oh man, that's messed up. And then we click on the channel, we'll watch wrestling. You know, until it hit us. It's just like that thing. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the rapper from Philly, Beanie Siegel. He used to be on Jay-Z's Rockefeller.
Yeah.
For years and years, snitches get stitches. No snitching. But when a member of his family in South Philly got killed, he's from South Philly. Mm-hmm. And anybody who's over the age of 40 could have caught Beanie Siegel 10, 20 years ago before he got his record deal, standing on the corner of Siegel Street or running around on Dickinson Street. I was sitting in my cousin's barbershop chair, and I'm hearing gunshots, and his dumb ass shooting guns up the block, him and his homies, and he waves his hand, and his homies shoot him in the hand. Talking to Tam. So it's that kind of behavior. Don't be snitching. Snitches die. But yet when I think it was his father-in-law, his mom's husband or something like that, it was somebody in his family, he pounded the pavement, knocking on doors. You see anything? Please, you on the news. Please, if you know something, please speak up. Oh, okay. Now you want everybody to start snitching. Because it happened to you. Because it was somebody in your family. And I hate to say it, but that's just how it is. I'm no different. I'm guilty of it. And it's because we're conditioned to be in an environment to where, you know, if I go to the store tonight, I'm not going to the store unarmed, because I'm prepared to kill somebody to make it home tonight. That's just the way I live because of the atmosphere I'm in, and I'm not alone. If you don't have a firearm, then you go get yourself some roach spray to spray in somebody's face. And I mean, I'm telling you, razors, box cutters from the hardware store, whatever you can get your hands on to make sure you make it home safe tonight. That's the world we're living in now.
Damn. That's a third world country.
Hey, when you look at them news reports over in Afghanistan and all this, people running up and down the block with all kinds of guns, they farmers, they this, they that. She done put down a pot of rice and reached in the closet and pulled out an AK and ran down the street to go shoot people too. But guess what? That's happening here. That's what them good old boys are doing. All right. So what did you guys think? We can't let the show go by without touching Judge Kavanaugh.
Oh, God.
Yep.
Well, I'll say this. That was probably icing on the cake for them GOP idiots, the nice way of putting it, because I think Susan Collins made the deciding vote. Her seat is up for grabs either by 20 or no later by 22.
Yeah, it is. She's done.
And now the GOP, I think I said to you, and I really believe the GOP is going to lose the Senate by 20, if not 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Because all the women, the Me Too movement, everybody else is going to become the vote now. And it's going to get more, and that all the women's group, they're going to be more, it's going to grow even stronger because of that Kavanaugh. You watch what I tell you.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, I don't know if y'all was watching. I've been watching politics heavy lately, but there's this whole talk on how the GOP their numbers are going up in the polls. That's because they were tired of hearing about this. All they heard about is Trump. They got Trump crazy. But Kavanaugh, we got to remember something. The only reason why the evangelicals support Trump is for two things. One, Mike Pence. Two, Trump's power to appoint judges. And Kavanaugh fits their bill. I just watched a report this morning on AM Joy. I mean, it's just like, are you kidding me? they would literally show something disgusting that Trump would say, and an evangelical would defend it because of Kavanaugh. Since the Supreme Court is now leaning to being conservative, lawsuits are going to start coming. The right to marry who you want to marry, the right to get do what you need to do, a woman to do what she needs to do with her body when she wants to do it. All of these things are going to get stirred back up, and it's going to go right up there. And you got a conservative-leaning Supreme Court, and everything that we've seen happen in the last 10, 15 years when we get it overturned. He's appointed two. Gorsuch and now this asshole. Two. And guess what? One of them old geezers, he got another shot at appointing another one by 2020 if one of them old geezers decides to return.
This is what happens when you don't vote.
Yeah.
People getting the message.
I'm just shaking my
head.
Y'all can't see me, but I'm just shaking my head.
Oh, yeah, you should. Because this is one of them shaking your damn head moments.
I'm just telling you, I think Hakeem, you probably disagree with me all the time on this, but the third, the revolution, or you're going to be seeing some stuff in this country. If you thought you see it now, it's going to get worse times 10. It's coming.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing.
Disagreeing
with that.
And here's I know we're talking about politics and about Kavanaugh, but it gave you a sidebar about the Senate race in Texas. That's closer than people think.
Yeah, man. That guy was making traction, but Kavanaugh popped up, and now him and Ted Cruz is like almost neck and neck. You see how it's galvanized? Here's the thing. They don't know the numbers on the Democrat side. They don't know. Truly don't know. Because so many Democrats, historically, Republicans always outnumber the Democrats on the primaries, these little senatorial races. That's why things are the way they are. But with all that's going on in the country, the hot-button issues in Texas, these little immigrant kids getting locked up, Ted Cruz being a piece of shit, and a whole bunch of women's rights and women's this, and, you know. So we're going to see what happens. This right now is a sit back and sit. I'm hoping pray every day that Ted Cruz gets thrown out on his ass.
He's not a favorite here. He's a Republican, but they're
not
keeping his tail up in here.
Hey, guess what?
But people in Texas still vote for him.
Because they're getting something out of him. Yeah, they're getting something out of it. He brings a lot of pork back to Texas. He brings tons of pork back to Texas. But let me tell you something. You go ask any political insider, who is the number before Donald Trump, Ted Cruz was the number one hated man in Congress. None of them sons of bitches in there like him. Not even other Republicans, because he's a snob and he's a piece of shit. And guess what? Mm-hmm. He's Hispanic, acting like a white man.
So I'm like, okay, Texas
is a toss up. I'm hoping that guy wins. I can't remember his name, but I like his. I listened to his interview on a couple of different networks, and I like what he stands for.
Beto?
But,
Beto?
I think that's his name. Tall white guy.
Yeah, he's running against
Beto O'Rourke.
O'Rourke. Is it O'Rourke? Yeah, O'Rourke.
Yes.
Yeah. And I even watched their debate. I watched it on C-SPAN. He had Ted Cruz's number on a number of issues. There's no excuse for Texas to be the way it is. And, nope. and a lot of that is due to the registered Hispanics. A good portion of them are, they register, they vote their Catholic hearts. Because most Hispanics, 99.9% of them are Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, the angelic right comes in and they kiss their ass and tell them, oh, we're all about you. So that's where they normally go. But, I mean, Texas is going to be crazy, but I'm keeping my eye on Florida. Mm-hmm. Let me say this, and I remember seeing this 2 weeks ago to my pop when we were sitting there going back and forth. And then I heard Chuck Todd say it on MSNBC. Meet the Press, yeah. If Gillum wins the gubernatorial election, he will be the most powerful Democrat in the country. I said it to my pop.
How so?
And he looked at me like I was crazy. But when Chuck Todd said it, he said, because any Democrat that can go into Florida, and win the gubernatorial and become governor, shit, there hasn't been a Democratic governor in 22 years in Florida. That's just like it's the same thing with Texas. That's going to be the most second powerful person. Texas is just a sleeping giant. That's all. There's a bunch of sleep-ass people in Texas. But Florida, that's a whole different can of worms. You got all of that crazy power and money that's flowing through Florida, all the different cultures that's flowing through Florida. And Florida is the place where rich conservatives go to put their feet up. So for you to be able to beat them out is something that guy, and he's running on hope and positivity. Sounds familiar? The brother knows what he's doing. And guess what? He was a small guy in Tallahassee. Most of the state never even knew who he was until he came out and started speaking about the issues.
You know? Get out there and vote for him. That's the only way you can get in there.
Yeah. I'm keeping an eye on the Georgia governor race, too.
That's a nightmare for me.
Because I said that's Georgia down there. I said, I know what's going on. They're trying a little dirty tactics as usual. I already know it. They're trying everything in their power to put that man in there.
Think about it. The guy who's the Secretary of State on the Republican side is trying to become the governor, of Florida. Okay? The Secretary of State controls voter this, voter that. You know, if there's any, he handles the investigation, processing. You know, your registration, when you do your voter registration, it goes up in the Secretary of State. That's his seal that's stamped on there. 56,000. A thousand registration applications are held up. 70% of that is black.
Why?
For whatever reason. Oh, they didn't meet the criteria. They didn't meet this. They didn't meet that. So there's been a whole thing of he needs to step down. He needs to recuse himself. So it's been this whole process. So now it's up in court waiting for a judge to bang the gavel on it. But they're still telling people, take yourself to vote. All you need is the proper ID,
right?
And you'll be able to still vote because it's a stall tactic and it's to discourage you. Oh, they didn't approve me, so you know what people are going to do? They're going to go home and go to bed. No, get up, take your ID, and any other thing that proves to where you live, and you go vote in your whatchamacallit.
Right.
So, but it's just the dirty ass tactics, man.
I'm doing the early vote here in Ohio, so.
Good
Me
man.
Too. Me too. I'll be down there on the 22nd.
Wish Pennsylvania did early vote. I'd have been on the first thing smoking. But, you know, it's I mean, it just seeing Trump come up here in the whitest of the white part of the state, the most racist county in our state, and the first name comes out of his mouth was Cory Booker. That was not
really
by
that what he said.
The first person he went after was Cory. While the storm was blowing houses over, he was up there talking about Cory Booker. Then he got the Dianne Feinstein. So it wasn't no.
What was he saying about Cory Booker?
Oh, how he screwed up Trenton. Trenton ain't been straight since he was the mayor. And you go up there.
That's
and
because
you
know
Cory
Booker's running for the president, trying to run against him.
Well, yeah, and he made sure he went and said it to a place where they hate black people. That's why the first name he came out of his mouth. You know, Cory Booker would beat his ass, I'm not sure if Cory Booker would make it through the primary, depending on who he's going up against. But if he was to make it, and it was him and Trump, he would tear Trump a new one.
Mm-hmm. He got a fire in him, Cory Booker. He got a fire in him.
Yeah. You know, it's just I don't see this country doing another black man anytime soon.
Yeah,
I just don't see it. They will vote Trump back in it just to make sure a brother ain't in there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm be honest with you, I'm not even sure about a woman right now.
Yeah.
I would vote for a qualified woman. I don't have a problem with it. But knowing how these people think, there would have to be one hell of a woman. She would have to cross because it's not about the Democrats.
Who's the chick's name? I keep forgetting her name. What's the chick's name that Trump kept calling when he was running for office, kept calling, talking about her, that she
Pocahontas.
Lied about being Native. Yeah, Pocahontas. Mm-hmm. She lied about being Native American.
You just talking about
her
yesterday.
Her
ain't that Elizabeth Warren, I believe?
Yeah.
Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just was talking about her yesterday and talked about her. Trump has pretty much been out campaigning in front of television. In the month of October, he's been out over 25 times. And I think I just read in one, I can't remember, the New York Times or one of them, where he's secretly telling White House people, I need to get out and get my message out. Nobody can give his message like him. So, okay, it makes sense, even though every word that he puts out is a lie. You know, he wrote an op-ed in the L.A. Times. And the L.A. Times editor, I mean, anybody can write one. You and me can write a damn op-ed in L.A. Times. But because it was him, it made national news. And they literally went through it a week afterwards and found at least one falsehood in every line he wrote. That's scary. I mean, he can't complete a sentence without lying.
The killer part is people believe him.
Well, 37% of America believes it. That's the part that we get caught up on.
Mm-hmm.
When you see him in front of people, he's not coming to us. He don't go to independent. He goes to his base.
Yep.
His base is the minority. Hillary kicked his ass in the number of votes. It's the Electoral College that got him in there. So it's like he has to be hit with an overwhelming force of votes. And it can't just come from the poor section. It can't just come from the blacks and the Hispanics and the women. I mean, even though the women kind of screwed us, with 54% of the women voted for Trump. So, you know, it's and they were the educated women too. College grads, that kind of stuff. It wasn't the blue collars. Because they felt as though that Hillary was just she's so entitled. Which she was, but hey, look what you got now. You got a freaking reality show going on in the White House. So,
can we touch on your man making the Oval Office look like the three ring circus. Kanye West.
Oh.
Kanye mess. Yeah, sure. Let's talk about Kanye mess. If you notice, I haven't spoke out. I haven't made any public statements because it's like it's Kanye. It's like it's when I get up
that
off the toilet,
like,
I don't turn around
like,
and talk to it.
Like Don Lemon said, that was embarrassing.
Of course. And everybody's going, oh, he's off his meds, or oh, something's wrong with him. You go ahead. Now, that may be true, but he is a marketing. He and Trump. Let me tell you some. Let me tell you some facts. Him and Trump, he is exactly right when he said a kindred spirits. He is the black Trump. Every single time a project's about to drop, Kanye has to come out and create some kind of controversy. Just
what,
the way it
what
is.
What project is dropping now?
Well, he got a whole nother. He got something else coming out. Then he's somebody. He's producing Nas' album. I mean, the when he was on TMZ. He had somebody's album he was producing coming out or something or other. The bottom line is, and he knows award season is coming soon, so he has to hurry up and get these projects out, create a buzz for himself so people can listen to what he's talking about so he can get in and get these awards and get the accolades. He is an egomaniac, just like Trump. Trump sit there and let him sit across from me. He's cussing. When have you ever saw Trump quiet?
Sure.
Think about it. When have you ever saw him quiet? So then
right.
What he does, the very next day, I can't remember what state it is, but I remember listening to one of the commentators say the state was a not blue collar, but like middle class mixed. So, of course, what was the first thing he came out and said? Oh, man, that Kanye. Well, why would he say that? Oh, because he has to show that he has some black friends.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, somebody's following
people,
you, such a cool guy.
But black people, we probably should have been, anybody else that had brought it up would have been booing him.
Well, remember, he doesn't go where independents or people who are trying to figure out what to do. He only goes to yes men.
Mm.
And I don't know if y'all missed it last month, one of them rallies. And if you ain't in the background clapping and shucking and jiving, they will pull you out. Secret Service will literally come, pull you out, and replace you with somebody smiling and more happy.
Oh.
Did you catch that one? Yeah. Yeah. One of those rallies, man, they pulled two dudes out in a chick. Because one, especially the young dude, he was looking like, huh? It's staying right. And quick as a hiccup, a lady came, tapped him on the shoulder, and told him to kick rocks, and she replaced him waving a little Make America Great, you know, T-shirt and all that shit. And she was enthused. You have to – remember, in politics, everything is about optics, how it looks. And that's public relations number one. How things look is how people perceive you. Perception is usually the way things go. That's how people – especially when you're uneducated. And you're not uneducated. You're unlearned how things work. You look at it. You see it. Oh, that must be true.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then when you catch them in their lies, what's the first, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. I had millions and millions of people at my inauguration. No, you didn't. Cameras pulled back. All them empty-ass spots across the
When I heard that, I was like, he had more than Obama.
Must have lost your rabbit ass mind.
Well,
you ain't had more the first or the second time.
Wow.
Yep. All right, we're down to 5 minutes. You guys got anything you want to put out there as we start winding down? Those 5 minutes will go by fast.
Nope.
What you got, Derek?
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to keep advocating. If you have an early vote in your state, go do it. Because I really believe the voting lines across the country is going to be longer than people expect. Because I think there's going to be more young people voting. There's going to be more women voting. So and then pay attention to your local elections too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
I've been putting the word out, and I'm going to keep on going forward with, you know, reminding people to vote, get registered on in the social media and in the groups. So y'all go vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And you keep voting, because one of the things that get lost is the president's vote is, of course, that's an important vote to go. But these primaries are the people that affect – the shit Trump does is going to affect you some point. Think about it. What has Trump done right now that affects you right now?
Wait till the stocks collapse and them taxes are going to affect the middle class even worse. It's coming.
That's way down the road.
In the next 2-3 years, four.
2-3 years. Now, the thing with China, you're going to start feeling that soon when you go to Walmart and Target and all the other places. That's one thing. But generally,
the price is going up.
Oh, yeah, because of the tariffs. This little tariff war he's having with China.
Mm-hmm.
So that's down the road. It takes a while for that ball to come back around. But when you are voting for your local, because remember, it's the Senate and the House in D.C., and then it's the Senate and the House in the capital of your state. So if you're not voting for the Senate and the House in your state, and you driving down the street and your tire's falling off because of the potholes, or the bridges are collapsing because because the funding ain't coming through, or you have to do like Philly had to do, rolling blackouts. We had to literally shut down fire departments because there wasn't enough funds coming through from the state. It's called rolling blackouts. It was a way to budget the money better. Libraries are closing. Rec centers for the kids.
What?
You know, all the think about it. And we let Obama off the hook, but he signed off. He took every bit of $12 billion out of Health and Human Services. That's a lot of food stamps that got cut. That's a lot of child care supplementals that got cut. A lot of vouchers for Section 8 people who need it got cut. This is what happens when you don't vote local. When you get a corrupt DA that's in there. When you get a judge, because guess what? Them judges be on them ballots. When you get a judge that's going to sit there and put your son away.
Mm-hmm.
When you had a chance to get a better judge in there. So we got to, you know, we got to start looking at this thing differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, got to look at this thing differently.
That's right.
But, we're down to 1 minute. And, I want to end on a positive note. I wanted to give a quick shout out to a company that caught my eye, and I thought this is a good story. Black-owned firm launches unique backpack dolls for young African-American girls. And young black girls can enjoy playing with a very unique toy that reflects what they look like, a new collection called Toys Like Me. And you could go and Google Toys Like Me to take a look and make a purchase. The black-owned company dedicated to making black young girls feel good. These are cute. These are beautiful. And I love seeing stuff like that. The hair is the same texture that black women are born with. It ain't all that straight, weavy, yakky, and all that Indian and none of that stuff. Bushy, kinky, beautiful black girls. And it's designed just for our kids. So go check them out. Toys Like Me. Created by Dante Lee, an African-American dad. Love that story.
Oh, we can get some information on that and post that in the group. That would be great.
Most definitely. All right, guys. Well, thank you for coming out, calling in, and turning up some good information. We'll do this next week. We are back, HubNet News.
All
night,
right.
Y'all.
Everybody vote.
Yep. Good night.
On Facebook Marketplace, you can buy a ping pong table from Gabriel, or you can sell a record player to Taylor. Because on Facebook Marketplace, there's a face behind the things you'll find here. Facebook Marketplace. Shop with real people for really great finds.